Attention, all gamers. Progress report, please. We need to know, have y'all been gaming? This is the only show that asks you that question on the whole internet. Hello, I'm Coney, that's TK. And we're checking out if y'all have been gaming on the show, Y'all Gaming. And we got some stuff to talk to you guys about. TK, how are you doing today?
Doing absolutely fantastic. I've been gaming a lot this week. It's been very nice.
Big gaming.
Like, it's been a, you know, been a nice little pastime this week for sure. But other than that, man, yeah, it's just been a nice little chill week of a lot of games dropped in the last few days, or not last few days, but last few like weeks altogether. Like, one of them flew under the radar, that Kena Bridge of Spirits. I almost forgot about it, but it is definitely out. Another game that came out that I've not got a chance to getting around to is that Flynn Son of Crimson. It's an indie game.
Never even heard of that.
Flynn Son of Crimson. It's an indie game. It's an indie like platformer with like a, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it's an action platformer. So you have your spears, axes, like, you know, gauntlets and stuff like that. You get to use them and run around and stuff. So it's a pretty cool game. I've been looking forward to it for a while. Just never got a chance to actually get around to playing it. And now, I am in the loop of Tales of Arise, Kena, Deathloop, and also still playing a little Smash. So it's, and Pokemon Unite is getting their update tomorrow. So just,
oh god,
a lot going on.
So definitely much to a lot play. Going on. There's Deathloop just came out. WarioWare came out, which I've been playing a lot of. And I mean, Nickelodeon is out in 2 weeks from today. So it's only going to get more and more. A lot of things at once. How is Kena? Because I've seen, you wouldn't tell me on your stream, but maybe you'll tell me here. Is it?
I'll tell them, and you can just be listening. That's cool.
I've heard it's like an Okami Zelda kind of adventure deal, right?
Okay, so yeah, pretty much. But the thing is, there also is like a little Pikmin element in it too, because you get the rots, and the rots are like, you know, you have to go find them in the world or whatever, and you get more rots. And the more rots you have, the more abilities you get and stuff like that. So they're like, they're used to do other things in the world. So like, one of the things they do, they clear corruption. So you have to like grab this little corruption bubble. They all hop into the corruption bubble, and then you steer them around with your staff, and then like you go and find you like do their attack to clear corruption. So there's a little Pikmin element in it, which I think is actually implemented quite well, because like the combat in itself is, you can pretty much do most of the combat without them if you wanted to, like if that's what you wanted to do. But the combat with them improves a lot. Like, I only have one ability right now, but I looked at the, you know, the flow chart type deal, and there's definitely more abilities you got. One of the abilities you get, though, is that you can charge your heavy attack into a hammer with the rots at the end, and then like it hits the ground and like shockwaves explodes, does a bunch of big damage.
Okay.
The game is visually gorgeous. It is probably one of the most gorgeous games I've ever seen. And I think that's because it literally looks like a Pixar movie.
It looks like I was watching
it. Yeah, like, I have not seen that done in a game. Not that I can think of, like, in my head right now, of a game that played or that like took the animation of a Pixar movie like that. Like, so it's such, like, I'm sure there's other ones, like, you know, It Takes Two. That one's visually cute for sure, right? But this one looks like if they just ported it over to like Disney Plus, I would believe it.
It looks like it's made very, I don't know, faithfully to capture that style. It's and I didn't know the PS5 could really produce that kind of thing. Like, when I saw it, I'm like, oh my god, that looks scary. And it looks really good in-game, too. It's not just, like, cutscenes or something.
There's definitely a slight difference in the cutscene versus the game, but it's not, like, one where it's, like, it's a cutscene, like, buff. But it's not, like, to the point where it's, like, wow, this looks, like, totally different. You can just kind of tell that there was a little more, like, shading involved when they did the cutscenes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, the game in itself, like, the particles are great. This is from an indie company too, by the way. So this is like, this is Ember Labs' first game ever that they put out. And I think they hit the nail on the head when you compare it to games such as Biomutant, where that was a good swing, but a hard miss too. Like, the idea of it, the concept of Biomutant is great. Like, you know, you you get to get all these abilities from like all over the place and or whatever. You learn a new attacks, like the combat's supposed to be kind of Dante-esque or Devil May Cry-esque, but it feels very watered down, Devil May Cry. And then on top of that, it feels like there's too much world building and not enough good gameplay. So like, but that doesn't seem to be an issue right now with Kenna. In fact, you know me, I don't even really like story games that much, but I'm actually very much interested in like keeping up with the story in this one. Like I've been skipping all through Tales of Arise. I haven't skipped any cutscenes on this, and I don't really plan to either.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot it was coming out.
I think everybody did. Like honestly, I think the reason I even saw it is because Mighty Keith tweeted about it. Shout out to Mighty Keith.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was like, what the hell? What is this game? I forgot it existed. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about, wait, I think it's the second
thing. That is what we're here to talk about.
No, that's the second thing. But we're going in order. I guess we're going out of order.
I was like, we're going to have to talk about it again? Like, no one?
No, I guess so. I guess so. I was like, I was looking at it and I was like, we'll go in order. The only reason I wanted to switch is because we are under Deathloop in the category, but who cares? It's fine. Yeah, would you recommend it if I'm not into Zelda or Okami, though?
Probably not. Because those are not games that you're into. So, like, I'm not going to recommend you. Like, you could try. It's $40. So, like, it's not, the full price of a normal game. So, I think if you're willing to try it for $40, and you know what? It's $40 and it's on Steam. So, you could try it.
True.
And 2 hours. What is it? 3 hours? Is it 3 hours? 2 hours?
2 hours, but I've gotten away with more.
Okay, well then, so, if you don't like it, like it, I think in 2 hours you should be able to tell, because I only played like an hour and 50 minutes last night, and
you were hooked.
It was pretty good. It's pretty good. You got like I got to the point where like I got a bow, because you start off with a staff, it's great, but then the staff ends up becoming like other things. So like now that she can like harness the power of the earth or whatever the fuck. Wait, let me just. Harness the power of the earth, and then she can draw it back like a bow, and it's pretty cool. Like it's pretty dope.
Okay, is it like? I mean, you and I are both huge Horizon fans, but is it like a? It's not like a light Horizon, is it? Like,
no, because I think. Okay. Well, the thing is, like, I think there's more platforming in it than Horizon, but also it's not true open world. Like, the map is open. But it's pretty much on like a lot of pathways. I think there's some secrets and stuff that you can find on the pathways. It's more so like I feel like it's closer to Uncharted, like when it comes to in Tomb Raider. When it comes to like the gameplay, because like Tomb Raider and Uncharted, those are like open world,
but
they're not like fully open world like Far Cry is, where you can literally go anywhere on the map. So,
Well, in that case, I'll probably pass it.
Far Cry, or you didn't like Tomb Raider, or you like Uncharted?
Not anymore. I feel like if an Uncharted game came out today, I wouldn't be into it anymore. I feel like those games have sort of like, I don't know, I'm sort of out of them because they're so narrative heavy. Like I played through half of Last of Us 2 and I just stopped. And I know that there are issues with that game in terms of pacing and whatnot, but I was just like, I'm not into this. Like the gameplay isn't keeping up. But
that's fair.
One game that I did play all the way through, and I know you haven't beaten yet, so I don't want to spoil it or anything.
That's actually surprising. You can spoil it if you want. That's actually surprising, though, because like I know you were kind of like on the fence about it, but...
I was!
But
it's okay.
So you're still kind of on the fence
I'm
about
still
it.
Kind. Here's the thing. It's. Do you remember the talk we had either a week ago or 2 weeks ago about Psychonauts, and how, to me, the creativity... and the presentation and the polish of a game really elevate it, right? It's not just about the gameplay. It's about all the pieces around it.
Okay.
Deathloop is like that, where the idea is really cool, and the execution is really well done, but the gameplay itself is like, the shooting isn't great. Part of it's my fault, though, because they give you so many powers. I don't know how far you got, but they give you so many powers, and I never used any of them. Like, legitimately, I never used any of them. I only used...
You're just running through shooting.
I shifted. That's it.
Okay.
I would use shift.
Oh, the teleport thing.
The dash. Yeah. That's literally it. And there are, literally sections in the game that are designed to be used with other things. There's, like, a party area, right? And... Mm-hmm. There's one of the powers where you can connect everybody's minds, and the idea is if you kill one of them, they all die.
You kill all of them.
Yeah,
okay.
It's called Nexus. Dope. It's really cool. I never did that. I never did anything cool. I feel the same way as I do Breath of the Wild, where it's like, if you want to be creative and do all this cool stuff, you can, but my brain isn't wired for that in video games. I just can't, like, I don't know. This is going to be a very fun playground for someone else.
Okay. Well, why didn't you, like, I feel like, I guess that's the question is, why didn't you, like, I mean, they're introducing it in a good way where they're like, hey, this thing does this, and you're just kind of like, all right, I don't care.
Well, because what's the point of it when I could just shoot them in the head anyway? It's for fun, but I don't really have fun. I'm boring, because when I play it, I'm like, I literally played the game walking around with a silenced pistol, and I would just pop everybody in the head. And I had a ninja build, which was just like, I can run without being heard, and I sprint faster. So it's like, I'm almost speed running the game, but I had fun, but I know I could have had way more if I actually played it the way that the devs wanted me to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things that I compared that game to visually, though, was just We Happy Few, like with the way that the
enemies look.
And like at first I was kind of like, I don't know, there's something about like when enemies aren't like realistic when the main character is, that kind of like throws me off. That's the same reason like I feel like I was kind of taken out of No More Heroes a bit, because like up until No More Heroes 3, Travis has been assassinating people like the entire time.
There's a lot of now, aliens.
Yeah, it's a lot of aliens and shit. And like, you still do a couple fights. Like, the last fight that I got into was actually a throwback to No More Heroes 2, which is actually pretty cool. But that was a human, and that was dope. But I'm like, do I get to fight more humans, or is that like a one-off, and now I'm back to, you know, fighting alien robot type deals? And so... Like, I don't know, that part, usually when it comes to a game like that, like, if I'm also an alien, okay, sure, right? Like, that makes sense. But if I'm, like, a human and I'm not, like, set in an alien universe, then I want to kill humans, you know what I mean? Like, I want to have, like, the exact adversity against me. Same, like, with Control, like, you know, Control, I was a human with, like psychic abilities or whatever, but I was still fighting humans. So, and sometimes you would fight, like, you know, like, apparatuses, because it was a psycho thing.
It's like SCP.
I forgot. Yes. One SCP of those. So, like, obviously, like, there's going to be some supernatural shit going on. But there's also, they're at, like, a building, like, a facility where they're, like, working on this stuff. So, of course, there's going to be humans there, too. So, like, the setting of that made a lot of sense to me. But the setting of, like, this game, it feels like they could have just still used humans, but I guess in the sense of how you're doing it with like looping and all that and time travel, maybe that's why they're able to get away with this like maskless, faceless guys and shit like that.
Well, it's not all of them though, right? Because like, a lot of them are. I think it's explained in the thing. There's some kind of story about like the artist on the island. Something like that. I kind of paid attention to the story. My problem with these kind of games, Dishonored had the same thing, is they build this really cool world, but they give you very little in terms of, like, how do I put this? You are given the impetus to explore it and learn the story, which is, like, okay for most people, but I don't like that. I want you to spoon-feed me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't want to go around reading notes and listening to audio logs and picking it together myself. I don't like that kind of storytelling. And I feel
I see what you're saying.
You know, I feel like this game has a lot of that. And for some people, that's way more immersive because it's like, you know, they're not going on and on this long exposition about what's happening and why. And it feels more organic because you're playing the game. But it's frustrating to me because I just want it sort of spelled out, and when I beat the game, and I won't spoil it, I was massively disappointed. It was rough. I wasn't a big fan. My least favorite example of this that I've talked about before is Outlast 2, which is a disaster at this. It just leaves like these notes all over the world, and if you don't actually pick them up, the story makes no sense. And even if you do pick them up, you have to find the right ones at the right times.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah,
it's bad.
I can get down with that. I do also think I hate that type of that feels like it's too open. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not going to at least give me some of the story and then, like, have me, like, I think the perfect formula for that is, like, all right, so you give me most of the story, right? But, like, little tidbits that I may want to learn about later, like, about, like, characters, you know, motivations and stuff like that can be found in notes. But, like, it doesn't take, but, like, it doesn't take, I don't need to do that to, like, fully understand the game. Like, I should still be able to get the full story if I don't find no notes at all. But, like, the notes should be, like, little tidbits. Like, oh, the reason why this character is doing this is because, you know, back in their younger years, this character, you know, had an issue with their parents or whatever, something like that. Like, you know, little things that don't really matter to me, to the story in the grand scheme. But if I was one who wanted to know more about it and, like, wanted to world build a little more, then I can go find that stuff.
I hate to be a boomer in Bioshock post, but Bioshock, Bioshock did it perfectly, I thought, where the game just tells you basically what's happening and why and when, and then there are all these audio logs that sort of go into the side characters. This is exactly sort of what their lives were like, why they sort of did what they did, and the motivations. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool, as opposed to something like Deathloop, where it's like you have very minimal interactions with these characters, and it sucks because the characters are so cool. It does that thing. I love it when games do this. No More Heroes kind of does it too, where the characters, they have like 8 characters that are propped up and they each have their own thing. So one of them is an artist. One of them is like the financial backer party boy. One of them is the like the scientist on the island. One of them is the archivist. It's like everybody has a role and their area is like themed around that. One of them was like a self-help guru or something. But like that's cool as hell to me. I love that. Metal Gear kind of does that too. It like props up these figures as somewhat more important, but you never interact with them. There's a character named Charlie, I think, who's like, he's like the programmer. He develops the games or something. I don't know, but he's some kind of game developer and his area is really cool and he has so much personality, but you never interact with him in a one-on-one basis. It's just like you find him and then you kill him. And I feel like that's, I don't know, that's a wasted opportunity. Regardless, the game's good. It sort of leads into our next point, but before we get there, how far did you get roughly? Do you know? I guess it's so open. Like,
I beat the first lady, the scientist lady,
the one that splits.
Yeah,
got you. Yeah. So you're mad early. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would have played more, but it's just because like I'm trying to play them in the order that they came out, and which means I should be playing Deathloop before Kena: Bridge of Spirits. But like I've stopped playing, Arise on stream because I feel like Arise kind of overstayed his welcome on stream. Last stream I had with Arise, it was like, wasn't nobody really talking. I was like, all right, well, I can still join this game off stream. That's fine. Plus, I'm at the point where you kind of got to grind. And even though the fighting, the gameplay of it is very fun, like, I don't think anyone really wants to like watch grinding all the time. So, So I'm going to end up beating that off stream. I'm like 70% done with that.
Okay.
And then when then I'm going to beat Kenna on stream, and then I'll be able to go back to play Deathloop. So.
Gotcha. I'm looking at a rise now because I'm curious. It's not bad. 3K, I guess. It's not terrible.
3K what? Oh, people
viewers,
watching?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... I think the RPGs literally have like a week to shine, and like that's it.
Sure. So one of the things that we talked about last week that I sort of wanted to bring up for this week is so when it came out, we were talking about Deathloop a lot until it was about to come out. I thought it looked kind of, I don't know, as I saw more and more trailers, I got more and more worried about it just being very derivative. And then it came out and I saw a bunch of tens and I'm like, damn, tens? Wow. And I saw a GameSpot 10, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. 110, not a big deal. Then I saw an IGN 10, and I'm like, okay, something's going on here. What the hell is going on? And then I played it, and I'm like, this is a 8. What happened? I don't know. Part of me wonders if it hit the reviewer just that much. I don't know. When I see a 10 on a review site, my like ears perk up, right? It's like that's a generational thing. There are only like 3 10s in a console's lifespan, right? I don't know. What does that mean to you? Like when you see a game hit that. It for me it's like, "Oh my god, this is a big deal. I have to try it." And I don't feel like I got that, you know?
I feel like I'm starting to think of like tens or just numbers a little differently. So I think for a game, to me now, I think that a game can, like, with just good gameplay and everything else is ass, can be a 5. I think games, like the gameplay of a game is already half of the score. The other half is made up of the world building or the setting, the story, if there's a story, and then, you know, all the other things that like that are not about the gameplay. So, like, for instance, the reason why I think, I like Horizon Zero Dawn a lot, right? I'd give it, like, a 4.5 to 5, maybe even 5 out of a 10 for the gameplay. The world is dope, so that's another point.
Okay.
The people, like, the animations are pretty good, but I wouldn't feel like they're, like, all, like, great, so I'm gonna give that, like, a half point, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, so you keep building up on top of it like that. So, like, basically a game that has, like, really, really shitty gameplay, but, like, is great every other aspect can still technically be a 5 if the rest of that aspect is perfect. But I feel like with me in particular, I think that if the gameplay is lacking, I'm not even going to get a chance to start enjoying the other sides because I bought the game to play a game. Mm-hmm. And if the game is not letting me game, then I'm not liking it.
Well, everybody has different like preferences for what they want.
Yeah.
Some people want a story.
As far as 10, though, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
So I just looked it up. GameSpot has given 19 10s ever.
Oh, my
ever.
God.
Like, this is Soul Calibur for Dreamcast, Chrono Cross for PlayStation, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 for PS2. There have been 19 10s ever. There are 20, but one of them is Grand Theft Auto 5, and they have it twice, so I'm not counting.
Okay.
But, like, is it as good as Mario Odyssey? Is it as good as Disco Elysium? Breath of the Wild is up here, but they have the Nintendo bonus.
Nintendo. I think the Nintendo bonus always gives you an extra 2 points regardless of what
every
you're
time.
Doing, so...
Yep. Metal Gear Solid 5? Okay. Tens are a scam, bro. This is this is nonsense, dude.
Metal Gear Solid 5 is literally like 20
half
minutes
done.
Of actual gameplay.
Yeah. Like, I that's so bizarre. The game was good, but it's only half done. The game you
oh
beat
God.
Half of it, and then it flips over and you have to do the other okay. Whatever. Right. When we talked about you know, how games can be subjective 10 out of 10s and or personal 10 out of 10s without being objective 10 out of 10s. Do you think a review site could ever call a game perfect ever? I feel like you can't. Right?
I mean, I think No, I think there's, I think it's possible, but I feel like they're too, I think that they're too like liberal with it. And on top of that, like nostalgia bonusy with it. I don't, there's no way Grand Theft Auto 5 is a 10 out of 10. Like it's the same formula. It's been used. It hasn't been like really upgraded. I think the only reason like Grand Theft Auto 5 is still getting so much play right now is because of role playing. Like if people weren't doing role playing servers or anything like that, Grand Theft Auto Online would not be popping like it is right now.
Well, I will say the game, they did give it this 10 in like 2013 when it came out.
Right, but even even at that point in time, like I played through Grand Theft Auto 5. Sure. Was it a good Grand Theft Auto? For sure. Like it was a great fun time, right? But like a 10 out of 10 experience, I don't know about that, man. Like that means that like at no point to me a 10 out of 10 experience means at no point in time did I feel like a slog at all.
Sure.
So like even if there's like even in like an RPG, like say that you know, there's a point in the game where they're like, oh, they're teaching you a new mechanic about like, I don't know, crafting or whatever. Mm-hmm. If the crafting is fun, then that doesn't feel like a slog. Or if the crafting is going to make me feel like more powerful later, then sick. But if the crafting is kind of boring and it seems unnecessary, but I have to do it because I need to be a little stronger for some boss, that's a slog to me.
Sure.
But like, yeah, I don't know, man. I think 10 out of 10s are very hard to give out. And I think people are really liberal, but I do think they exist out there. There's some games that like are so iconic that they kind of deserve a 10. Like, as Fansley said in the chat, I think Ocarina of Time deserves one because it was the first 3D Zelda game and it like started this jump of like, you know, what they can do with Zelda. It also was a good game. Like for its time, I don't know if I'd go back and play it again, but like for its time, it was definitely a good game. Like coming off the heels of like all these 2D Zeldas, you get this 3D one, the world's bigger, the action's better, like the story's fucking dope. Like it definitely deserves the 10 right there. But moving forward after that, like if you're not continuing to innovate, then I don't know how you can continue to give out 10s, I guess.
Would you give Odyssey a 10?
I think I'm biased because Mario games.
You're not an Odyssey guy. You're not a Mario guy.
Yeah. It was a solid game. I think that it definitely innovated on what Mario can do with with Cappy and stuff. But I think that near the end, it felt like a slog.
The reason that I'm asking is because, like, how do you recreate that? Because the magic of going from Link to the Past and on Super Nintendo to N64, you literally can't do that again, right? Like,
well, I mean, they tried to because, like, they went from the adventure to the open world, and like they tried, and it is a new experience. It's just they needed to. I'm hoping that it's not as empty as the second, you know, second Zelda game. It's not as empty as the first one. That was the biggest issue. It was nice to see, for Breath of the Wild, it was nice to see all these locales that you knew from back in the day being like fleshed out in this open world scene. Like, you know, Gerudo Valley in Ocarina of Time, obviously not that large, right? The whole game's not that large. But then you take it and you like grand scale it, and now you have like full cities of Kakariko Village, full cities of Gerudo Valley, full cities of the Rudo area. Like, it's just, that was a nice homage. But the fact that the game was so empty made it feel like they didn't understand the scope that they were going for.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the next one is able to nail that a little bit more. I've been wanting to go back and play Breath of the Wild again, honestly, just to give it another shot. But I also, I don't know, it's kind of long. Maybe I'll just wait for the next one. It's strange because I feel like you can love two games for totally different like I love Red Dead 2 and I love Mario Odyssey, but they're totally different games. I would give them both 10s, but they're both personal 10s. They're not 10s for everybody because, like you said, I think the collecting gets kind of annoying in Odyssey. But I love them both. So it's like, how do you, I don't know. The whole topic of this was supposed to be on because it's, can you objectively say something is a 10 for everybody? I do think there are people that are going to be in love with Deathloop in particular because Arkane does put out these type of games that are extremely ambitious, which I think is really cool. They don't try to just make a shooting game. They try to make a shooting game with these really unique, distinct mechanics and world building. But then you're going to have a person like me who just like, okay, you've given me all these toys, but this toy works great. and I could just shoot this guy in the head over and over. Why would I use these other toys when the goal is to get to the end? And it's like, I don't know.
I think that, well, that's a good point, because I feel like it's impossible to give a objective 10 out of 10 for everyone. Like, you can't, you're not going to give a guy who, like, let's say you're some guy who's only playing MMOs, right? You're not going to give him, like, Street Fighter V, and Street Fighter V is granted a 10 out of 10, and he's going to enjoy that, because that's just not his game type, you know? But I think the way that they rate stuff is for people who like that game. You know what I mean? So, like, sure. Hey, if you're into fighting games, this game is a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
If you're into adventure open world games, sure, this game is a 10 out of 10. But even then, I feel like it's still, like, there's so much to like, think about and to consider, even when you're trying to do that. Yeah. So, it's a stretch, for sure. It's a stretch.
It's I don't know. It's, when I was playing through Deathloop, I kept thinking to myself, I wish I had motivation to do this stuff. And I feel that way about Breath of the Wild too, where it's like, there are all these camps that you can go to and fight the enemies and whatever, but when you get to the end, you just get another weapon. It's like, why would I do that? I'm just giving up a weapon to get another weapon, which may or may not be better. And I felt that way about Deathloop, where, like, there's all this cool side stuff, but you don't get anything for doing it. And there's only, like, four side missions in the game that give you a cool weapon. If there was a bunch more, you know, I'd probably be happier, but I don't know. It's a weird thing. It made me think a lot, but that's just my thoughts about it. Guys, go play Deathloop. I liked it. It's good. I would give it, you know, maybe probably an 8. It's very good. Maybe even a 9, because it's really cool, but the ending sucks.
I think it's Deathloop. Oh, well, that sucks. Yeah, the ending sucks. Wait, have you griefed anybody yet?
No, that's the other thing about it. That sucks, dude. The Julianic mechanic is terrible. No. Have you been griefing people?
No, one person griefed me, and then I turned it off.
Me too. Me too. Yep. The mechanic doesn't work.
I want to finish the game before, like, I go about trying to grief.
Yep.
And the reason, you know, the only reason I actually turned it off, because the person who griefed me was in my channel, and then, you know, it was all friends, and then he griefed me, and then he DM'd me, and it was like, GG, he was like, that was me, man, I had to do it one time, and I was like, you're fucking lame, bro.
Oh,
I was like, you're lame, like,
no.
You DM'd, we are friends in real life, bro, I see you all the time, like, you're lame, bro.
That's like, weird.
Like, if it was just some random, you know, like, how it is with when you're playing Smash, and some GGs, that was me, all right, whatever. You're a content creator yourself, or you understand content creation, and you really went out your way to do this. You're lame.
That's messed up.
Yeah. So I want to go about griefing people eventually, but I do think that mechanic, it, on paper, it sounds fun. In practice, whoever's getting griefed is going to be incredibly upset if they're, like, trying to,
right,
you know, if they're trying to, like, advance the story or something.
Well, it also doesn't... So, the problems with it is, one, Juliana has to kill you 3 times. So, you have to kill the guy 3 times. How the hell are you going to do that? That's crazy. 2, it is... The machete is so insanely strong in the game that I had Juliana literally just sit by the antenna with a knife out. And it's like, I can't do anything. Like, I legitimately can't do anything because I have to be close to hack it. And she's, the second I get close to it, she's going to chop me. This is a game about guns, and you're forcing me to go there, and there's no, like, it's not like a Fortnite, which forces you to close in. It's like, she's just waiting for me. We could waste each other's time all day. And then the third thing is, like, it takes so long to find a game. I don't know if you try to be Juliana.
I did. It definitely takes very long. Because I'm sure that most people turn their shit off because they're trying to beat the game.
Yeah, it's a really bad gimmick. It's a really fun gimmick if it worked, but it doesn't. Yeah. It sucks because, like, it's one of the coolest things you could do in the game, but it doesn't function. It does not work at all.
Yeah, I think because of the fact that people are trying to beat said game, they will not be going about trying, you know, letting people grief them actively. Like, right. I want to play the game. I want to beat the game. Like, let's not, you know, let me get through that. Once that's done, maybe once people are done and they want to, like, do fights like that, then the concept of, like, just going loading up a level, right?
Mm-hmm.
One person has an objective. The other person is trying to stop an objective. Could have been a whole game in itself. It was like, I don't know, like procedurally generated, right? So like, all right, man, like I start at this side of the map, you start at this side of the map. I need to go retrieve this thing and bring it back to my side of the map without you killing me 2-3 times. That sounds like a fun game for like a week or two. But this is also a story game that I'm trying to world build and understand and figure out how we got these and then beat bosses and shit. And not only do I have to beat the bosses, I have to worry about someone jumping in my game and griefing me. Yeah, I don't know. That just doesn't seem like it really...
Dude, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I
TK invented one flag CC, basically, but with guns, and yeah. And that's the whole game. So
I turned it off immediately because when you turn it off, Juliana legitimately just like walks to you. Like the computer is so funny. She'll just path to you no matter. The AI is so bad in this game across the board.
Juliana's here and she's like, "What's good?" Boom, boom. Ah, gone. You've killed Juliana.
She's like shooting me with a shotgun from half the map away. It's like, oh, this is perfect. Please. I had to turn that off. So anyway, Deathloop, not a 10 out of 10 in my eyes, but I do recommend you play it because I do think Arcane makes really cool stuff. So please check it out. TK, I would like you to beat it. You should beat it sometime.
All right.
This is your assignment.
TK's idea would be amazing if it was Hitman. Oh, that's so nice.
Hitman game where somebody has to assassinate and the other guy.
Yeah,
has to
Hitman run. Where somebody has to assassinate and then someone has to assassinate Hitman.
Well, I feel like the other guy just wants to do his tasks. Like, he has to, like, in the Hitman games, it's always like the guy's at a photo shoot and he has to, like, go get his hair done and he has to go get a drink or whatever. And then he gets the shoot and it's like the target is left. If you had that kind of game, that would be cool as hell.
Well, see, now I'm thinking about it though. Like, Hitman, where Hitman is the assassin, but someone has to assassinate Hitman, means the assassin can literally just like start the game and pop a shot and then make everybody scatter.
Oh, like, that's true.
Or
yeah.
The second assassin, he'd be like, all right, man, I don't want Hitman to kill anybody, so I'm just going to step in the middle of this room, shoot a shot. But if there was like no weapons, I guess.
Yeah.
And like you got penalty for doing like not killing Hitman, then maybe.
There are games, I've seen a game on Steam, and there are other games that sound really funny where you have to impersonate AI. What was the other one? Spy Party? I love that game. Things like that, where it's like, you are a member of, how about Hitman has to complete his mission, and you're a random FBI agent in the crowd, but he doesn't know who you are. You know what I mean? Like, the maps are smaller than Hitman games, but like one of the AI computers is another human who's trying to figure out who the hitman is and kill them. And they're both trying to be discreet. Ooh, that might be a good game. That's complicated, but I can see it.
All right. Well, you know, like, hey, we're gaming, but we also have gaming ideas. So, you know, one day, or like, again, my biggest gaming idea is still give me a Chao Garden mobile game. It's not that hard, Sega. Like, you already have the blueprints. Literally just port over the Sonic Adventure 2 Chao Garden into some level of a mobile game. Let me do Chao Karate. Let me do Chao Races again. And I'm set, bro. I don't even need a third activity. Chao Karate sounds fun. You just imagine money matching Chao Karate.
Well, with Gotcha, it's going to be even worse. People are going to spend thousands of dollars on their Chao. It's going to go crazy.
Yep.
Like, I feel like you don't even need
money match. Graphics. How much have you spent first? Yeah. How much have you spent?
You need under 5K bracket. Under 5K.
Yeah, under 5K bracket.
Yeah, please bracket that out. I just like, you don't even need good graphics if it's a Chao Garden. It's not bad, you know.
Straight up, like the Chao's look still pretty decent from Dreamcast/GameCube. You don't need to do much more than that. Just come on. It's not that hard.
Sure. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's show on Y'all Gaming. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Sonic Team lost a lot of their top talent to Nintendo, and now they're kind of going off the rails allegedly. They're pissed off at Sega VNA because Sonic Mania outsold Sonic Forces. Maybe they should make better games. That's always the way. Just make a better game. Why don't you? How about that, Sonic Team?
What about Sonic Forces?
Apparently, Sonic Team is mad at Sega of NA because Sonic Mania outsold Sonic Forces.
Well, Sonic Forces sucked, though.
Well, yeah, and Sonic Mania was good, and they're mad at Sega NA for that.
What?
I don't know.
Wait.
Sonic's weird. I mean, Japanese business is weird, dude. Nintendo and Sega, and they just... I don't know. Something's going on in Japan, but Hey, if you're listening to this podcast from Japan, you know you could also listen to it on Spotify and iTunes. We're on there too. Search Y'all Gaming on those platforms. That's going to do it for today's episode. We'll be back in a week. Trying to think of what's coming out this week. I actually, I don't know if I'm
about... Don't think anything of importance is coming out this week. Let me go ahead and look up for new game releases real quick. Sonic, what a weird thing to be mad about. Like, they're both Sonic... Okay.
I mean, it's like they got showed up by a fan team, you know?
Yeah, get bodied.
That's sort of the problem.
All right.
I'm going to have a code.
Did you play this Life is Strange game?
I'm not gonna play that. I played the first Life is Strange game and it was very funny, but the new game doesn't look funny. It looks just annoying and bad. So, I'm not into it.
Releases next week. All right. Far Cry 6 is coming out pretty soon. That's
Metroid Dread. Yep.
Metroid Dread. Yep. I see Kenna. I see Shelter 2. Pokemon Unite is getting released on Android. Death Stranding's director cut. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
I'm going to have a code for Nickelodeon All-Star, I think. I might have a code for it, but I'm going to be... I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it. So I don't think I'll be allowed to talk next week, but...
Okay, yeah, well, we'll come up with something because none of these games coming out right now look pretty good. A MechWarrior 5 Mercenary, Sable, like Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, like okay, I'm straight, I'm good.
Yeah. I think it might be a little dry, so we'll find something to talk about next week. But that's for next week. This is this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. TK, anything to say before you go? Are you going, you're going to stream again?
I'm
going to
go back live. There's a lot of coverage of these Nickelodeon All-Star showcases that I actually have not seen. So we're going to watch a couple of those.
Yeah.
Definitely going to watch that Leonardo one, but yeah, I didn't see the Ren and Stimpy showcase. Currently right now though, like just from all the showcases we got, I think Sandy sucks. I think Sandy has no BS, bro. Like everybody else in this game has some BS. It doesn't seem like Sandy has good BS, but we'll see. We'll see. I could be wrong. From watching her, she has to be like super fast, I guess. But right now, she doesn't seem like she has any BS.
I've seen people say that she's like a space animal of this game. So, like, apparently she is fast. I don't know. All I know is Patrick looks very bad.
Yeah, it seems like all of his moves, like they seem like they do a lot of damage, but are very slow. And with the amount of movement in that game, I don't see how you're going to be able to get a lot of these grabs that he needs.
Yeah.
So I also, first of all, the three avatar reps is dope because Korra and Aang, they were shoo-ins. The fact that they brought Toph is one of my favorite characters in Avatar, and I barely even watched Avatar. That character slaps, and I'm hyped to play that. But I feel as though if they have three of those, are we getting every turtle?
Nope. Only two of them, I think. Damn. I mean, like, they might still be alts, but I don't know.
Damn.
Maybe not.
Well, I mean, that's probably too much turtle rep anyway, though, because you have two turtles plus April.
April, yeah.
Yeah, so if you got four turtles plus April, and then somehow Shredder or, like, Casey, like, that's six characters all dedicated to Ninja Turtles who weren't originally Nickelodeon like entities. So like that's, I don't know.
I just want Garfield, bro.
Is Garfield Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah. I actually talked about it on my stream. Did you know that Viacom bought the rights to Garfield back in 2019 and they're going to make a show about him soon?
I did not. That sounds nice though.
Uh-huh. I mean, it might happen.
But all right, but hold on though. Is it going to be like directly to kids or?
I don't know.
Like, because will there be some adult references? Because Garfield's old. That's an old cartoon, man. I need some of those adult references, like how Disney puts in adult references, but like kids will never understand them.
Yeah.
When you go back and watch it, you're like, I can't believe they got away with that.
Yeah, I feel like Garfield needs something because otherwise nobody's going to watch that. But. Well,
This is not watching. This is y'all gaming. My bad.
This is y'all gaming. Yeah, we will be gaming, guys. We're going to see you guys soon. TK is going to be watching some Nickelodeon stuff, so we're going to kick it back to him. We're going to raid him, go back. I'll be watching it tonight on stream, the new stuff. I have not seen Ren and Stimpy. April O'Neil also dropped. And then Leonardo. So three of them. So, damn. Wait,
April dropped too?
April drop. Yeah, but only on
the same channel?
No, it's only on Polygon. Her video is only on Polygon. It's like an exclusive.
All right, so does Polygon have all the other stuff? Because I see Game Mill Entertainment has the other ones.
Yeah, they have the other two, but Polygon is April. I don't know why, but...
Well, that's weird, but okay.
All right, guys, all right, well, that's going to do it for Y'all Game It. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to raid TK. I'll see you soon. Goodbye.